Hey, saucy but sweet fam. Welcome back to your favorite society and culture podcast. I know the last time you heard from me, I was speaking with Yasmeen Jamila from Transparent Black Girl about how to set intentions for the new year. That was a few months ago. I'm curious to know how all of you have been adjusting to 2022. Has Yasmeen's advice helped? I know for some of you, this year may not seem much different from the last, but it's only March. There's still time. Like many of you probably understand, I, as the host, love doing this show, but sometimes can be overwhelmed with everything going on, whether it be social media, my career goals, or just relationships. This makes it a bit hard to stay fully present, but I'm happy to be back and ready to take on new topics that come my way. I also made the best decision for myself to deactivate some of my social media platforms. I never felt more free. I don't know about you, but over the last few years, I've been pretty disturbed by the actions of an artist who I consider to be a genius, and dare I say, one of the OGs of our generation, Kanye West. My relationship with Kanye West as an artist has been complicated, to say the least. Whether it was his outburst on TMZ back in 2018, or his defense of the former twice impeached, disgraced President Donald Trump, to his constant attacks against his ex-wife Kim Kardashian and her new boyfriend, it seems like every day is something new. For those who know what it's like to deal with someone with mental illness and narcissist-like qualities, waking up to more headlines where Kanye is involved must be like adding salt to the wound. If you're like me, confused, disappointed, and looking to have an in-depth conversation about Kanye and saddened by how we deal with celebrities with mental health issues, you're in the right place. Stay with us. You are now listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson, a podcast where nothing is off limits, where we talk about everything from romance, sex, pop culture, and everything in between. Sit back, relax, and enjoy an unfiltered time where we keep it sweet and always saucy. I am so excited to have Katie Hirschenroder joining us today.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast. This is your first time on Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson, and it's so great to have you on. Can you introduce yourself for those who don't know you?
Yeah, my name is Katie Hirschenroder, and I am a journalist. That's how we know each other.
Yep, we both went to CUNY. Hey, CUNY gang.
Yes, double CUNY girl, City College and the J School.
Yes, yes. So how have you been enjoying, you know, the hot vax winter season?
Yeah, I just went on a walk, even though it's absolutely freezing outside, and I was just kind of willing myself to do it, I guess. But I check the weather app religiously for anything that has a 5 at the beginning of it, even would be glorious.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy. I've been complaining about it every time I go out with my friends. I'm like, why did I do this to myself? Like, you did this to yourself. You could have said no and stayed home under a blanket, hot chocolate. But no, you agree to go to the club and go all the way to the Lower East Side and freeze your ass off. Like,
it is always the Lower East Side. And I'm always like, you know what, Katie, like, you can wear the smaller jacket because you need to look cute while you're walking down the street. Please, no.
Yes, and it's always so cold down there too. And I'm not a big fan of the Lower East Side, so I have a lot of complaints, but that is my friends. That's where me and my friends go. Like, that's our hang, like all the little clubs there. And I'm just, it's so cold. I miss biking, the little summer things, the picnics.
I'm not from, but I lived in Arizona for a really long time. So anywhere without the sun for too many months can get to me.
Oh my gosh, yeah, it's insane, it's insane. But you know, hot vax spring is coming. It's March 5th, so it's coming. Just wait. Yeah, so today's an interesting episode. It's something, you know, I've been thinking a lot about Kanye West. I've been talking a lot of shit about him for years. And a lot of it, I think, was deserving. But a lot of it also, I think now I'm going to come from a little bit of compassion as well when I talk about him. Because he's been so open about his mental health issues and stuff like that. So I want to start off by asking, you know, there's a lot going on right now in entertainment news regarding Kanye. You know, what were some of your thoughts when you saw some of the recent posts he's been posting? And I'm off social media now. I deactivated my Instagram and Twitter. Hallelujah. But I still kind of obviously, you know, I was on it for a long time and looking and seeing what was going on. So what were some of your thoughts when you've seen him, like, back in the news lately?
Well, I mean, I guess similar to you, I kind of had to catch myself because my first inclination was to, you know, screenshot it and send it to a friend and say, like, oh my gosh, have you seen what's going on? And almost treat it like a gossip story. And that was my first inclination. Yeah. And then I kind of had to check myself and be like, this isn't, like, I don't want to treat this like Page Six, because I don't think that that's fair to anyone involved. So then I started reading more what I would say nuanced takes on what was going on, and that helped.
Yeah. No, for sure, for sure. I've also kind of started reading things, too, where they quoted, like, therapists who would be talking about this. And, you know, for me, what got me really upset about it was, like, the manipulation, intimidation, and, like, narcissism that I feel like he has, you know, because he has narcissist-like qualities, you know. And I'm not sure if you saw this new video with his song, the rapper of the game called Easy, where he posted a video on Instagram, like, burying Pete Davidson, and he calls him Skeet.
Oh, I've seen that he calls him that, but I didn't see the video of him burying him.
Yeah, and, like, fans were going off. They were like, oh my God, like, what is he doing?
The things that makes it difficult and makes it less in a vacuum whenever he does these things is that he has millions and millions of people who see that and who love him, and I think it creates kind of an unsafe environment. Yes, like, for Pete, but which is valid in and of itself, but especially for her, which is where I think really both of our concern lies.
Yeah, and it's abuse. It's like, you know, you don't want to be married to me anymore? All right, I'm gonna make your life a living hell. And we're seeing in real time, like, a woman being abused, you know, really, like, cyberbullying, because, you know, he's just posting things. And he even posted, like, texts that she sent him saying, hey, like, this is unsafe for Pete. And, like, he posted it. Like, I'm like, why? Like, it's getting worse. And I'm wondering, like, where is your management? Where is your support system? Because this man has so much talent, and I feel like he has so many people around him, but I'm like, do you have the right people around you? Because I don't know anyone that would look at this behavior and say, oh, you're doing great. Like, you're doing great. Yay, keep going.
Right. I've had this conversation with people before where I don't want to say feel bad, because I don't know if that's the right word, but I fear, you know, whenever someone has so much power that sometimes the people around them benefit from them getting more media coverage. And of course, whenever you are doing all of these postings and saying all of these things, you're going to get more media coverage, and then there's going to be more money and more power and all of these things. And I'm not saying that that's why Kanye is doing it, but I do think that that plays a role into his management team and into those around him. And I think, you know, if I saw a friend who I really cared about doing that, and I knew that they had a really complicated history with mental health, I think that it would be the right thing to do to step in and say, what do you need in this situation? Because I'm not sure that this is what you need.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. And, like, again, like, where are these people? And it's just insane. And, you know, on this show, I also like to talk about the media and the role that the media plays in these kind of situations. You know, do you think the media is playing kind of a villainous role in all of this? You know, because a lot of the coverage is sensationalizing it.
Especially because of the speed that he was doing it, the speed that he was posting, the speed which all of these things were happening. I remember, like, especially on Super Bowl Sunday, I felt like one common trope that the media does that was seen here is it's like, who's going to get it first? Like, who's going to get it first? Like, who's going to get the screenshot? Who's going to get the headline? Which was why I had to, like, check myself too, because I saw that this was happening on Twitter. And then I was like, what are these people saying? What are these people saying? And I found that the pieces that did it better justice maybe didn't take a week, but at least took a couple hours to get in contact with people, to write, to actually have someone speak to the situation who has experience with these type of dynamics in a relationship. And I just feel like it's on the media to be a part of that kind of like race to get to it first. And it's also on us as consumers of media to say, am I really excited and interested in this article because they're the first one to get it, or am I excited about it because it does the best job at telling the story?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And also something that this reminds me of too, and something that's so sick about Hollywood and the music industry and all that, and just the media, is like, we build people up. And we, you know, really the fans and just us, we built Kanye up and kind of created a monster in a sense. We really do create monsters a lot of times. And then when they kind of roar and they come out and they attack, or they have breakdowns, which some of them do, which is very real, we like make fun of them. We make it worse for them. And it's just crazy to me how like you couldn't pay me to be a celebrity. Like, I don't care all the money in the world. I want to be rich, but I would never want to be famous, because I just feel like it's just so hard to keep your head on straight.
Yeah, I definitely saw that in this situation. And I saw a similar thing with the way that media organizations and individuals too, but media organizations were treating Kim, because I think Kim is a figure who, rightfully so, in a lot of cases, has received some, you know, critiques. I think also she has received some less due critiques, but she also in the Twitter world and the Instagram world in large part is seen as not a real person. Like, she's seen as like a 6-second video of her, you know, crying about something on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And so I think a lot of the coverage of her in this situation was acting like she wasn't a person with emotions and wasn't a person who can experience fear and pain and abuse and all of those things because of the way she's been treated through media coverage in the last, I don't even know, decade or two.
Yeah, for sure. You know, these are real people and real emotions. And part of me, I'm partly thinking too, like, how much of this is for show. But then I think about her and her children, and he did bring her children into, he brought their children into this. And I was thinking to myself, wow, this must not be for show, because she would never, never do something that could, you know, really inflict her, put her children in it. And they are. They're seeing their father go crazy. I think he said, oh, she didn't let me come to the birthday party. Like, it was just, it's blown out of proportion, and it does affect the kids. So I don't think this is much for show as I did before a little bit.
I think that that's a really good point, especially because not all of them, but some of the children, and I mean their cousins, et cetera, are within the age group where they know what's going on. You know, they're not 1 year, 2 years, 3 years old, all of them. Like, they're old enough to have not only a sense of what's going on, but a sense of what their friends are saying about it, what people are saying. Like, they're old enough to understand that. So I think that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And like, again, like, I want to come through this with compassion, because I don't know, I'm just in a different place right now where I'm trying to be less judgmental. And I'm just seeing, when I see people suffer, because I feel like he's suffering. You know, this man is, he has problems, and he's had outbursts on stage, even what happened with Taylor Swift. And I remember that was, like, I think Taylor Swift, I think that was the first time we saw him in this way.
Right, like in the public consciousness, like, we turn to that moment. I think that it's really easy to see the situation from a sensationalized point of view. And I think that a lot of the people who I've been seeing who've been drawing this line between compassion for him and accountability have also been referencing, I've seen bits and I've read some about it, but I haven't seen all of the docuseries on him that just came out.
Yes,
But a lot of people have been pointing to that as another layer of seeing someone with compassion but not having it be one-dimensional. So, I mean, I think that that's a really good point. And I think that there's a lot to learn from not being judgmental and also not being, you know, not wiping away all guilt.
Of course, yeah. And, like, you know, he should be held accountable for his behavior. And any think pieces that really dive into his narcissism and why what he's doing is wrong, I 100% stand by those. But at the same time, there needs to be a sense of, like, okay, but where is this coming from? Like, why is he like this? And losing his mom and the grief and, you know, the documentary that I really want to watch, too. It's called Genius, a Kanye trilogy. You know, I heard it was heartbreaking. And just a lot of pain. People don't act... The thing is, people don't act like this when they're not in pain. Like, people are crying for help. And, again, it doesn't ever excuse bad behavior. But it's coming from somewhere. And, you know, I wholeheartedly believe, like, Pete Davidson could have been anybody. Like, Pete Davidson just happens to be someone that Kim is with. But, like, he obviously is dealing with self-doubt, his own inability to control what's going on around him, and he's taking it all out on Pete and Kim and doing this.
Pete could have been anybody. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, besides the stuff with Kid Cudi, like, it the only things that he's critiquing is about, like, who he is as a person. Like, it's not about the people that they know or the people that they're in circles with. I worry whenever I see so much of his messaging being met with what I see is, like, hype. Like, hype in the comments and, like, hype being, like, yes, like, you go, like, you get her, you know? And... It makes me worried for a couple reasons. One, it makes me worried on her end because this, like, go get her, like, this is what you do when you fight for someone mentality is really dangerous. And it makes me worried because I see not a ton of space between what he's doing now, getting received with hype, and then him doing something maybe a little bit more dangerous even to himself. And... you know, you don't want to encourage someone to that point. And then when that happens, say, oh, this was so sad. Like, how could we have known when all of these signs are here?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, this is beyond toxic. I mean, you know, she was in a toxic marriage and her having the strength to get out of it and then to have people, like, hype him up. Like, oh, you should fight for her. Like, this is not something that needs to be fought for. Like, this needs to not exist because you're battling so many issues and you're basically abusing this woman. And a lot of times too, with the manipulation with, like, oh, I have problems. Like, you should stay with me. Like, I'm dealing with myself, but I'll get over it. And it's like, no one, you shouldn't force someone to, like, stay with you through that. If that's their decision to leave. So this is just a toxic relationship, toxic stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, a lot of the times as consumers of other people's relationship, because that's, you know, what we are in a big way, there's a tendency to be so attached to the relationship and, like, the concept of these two people being together than to the actual health of the relationship or what's better for them. And I mean, we see it all the time, you know, we see it with J-Lo and, like, we see it with J-Lo and everyone that she's been with, you know? We see it with Jennifer Aniston and everyone that she's been with. And...
Ariana Grande, Mac Miller.
Yeah, Ariana Grande and everyone that she's been with. Like, we... And I'm guilty of this. Like, we ride so hard for these relationships and we say, well, if they can't make it, then no one can make it. And it's really unfair for... you know, both of those people's individual mental health and they're, you know, deserving that they're deserving of love and they're deserving of healthy love more than we're deserving of enjoying watching their relationship.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And this is why part of the reason why I don't like Instagram, because it kind of plays into that. You know, you see the perfect Instagram couple. Oh, they're perfect. Oh, look at Ariana and Mac Miller. Oh my God. And she and we put so much onto them. And then when she broke up with him, she was getting attacked. I think he was in an accident or something like that, or something happened, his downfall before he passed away. People were blaming her. And I'm like, how dare you? Oh my God.
I was thinking about that too, because there's such parallels in these situations, and thinking about it in the in the realm of Kim and Kanye, that she is already being blamed, and I trust that she would be blamed in the future if anything happened for his actions and his emotions and his health. That responsibility is on her, just as the responsibility for Max. Health was on Ariana Grande, and that's not to say that, you know, Ariana Grande wasn't incredibly emotionally invested and felt that responsibility for his health, and that's not to say that Kim doesn't feel the same exact thing, but that doesn't mean that it's okay. That doesn't mean that we should hold men's mental health, hold that responsibility onto the women that they're with.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Exactly. You need to save yourself. A lot of times it's like you want to save the other person, but you need to save yourself, especially if you have children.
If you had a friend who felt like they couldn't get out of a situation, abusive or not, with someone because they were experiencing, you know, some sort of mental health crisis, some sort of crisis, we would say, you know, I love that you want to support this person, but this isn't your responsibility and it can't be your responsibility.
The Kid Cudi situation really made me sad because Kid Cudi and Kanye make great music together.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think that,
you know,
right, I think that that's one of the unfortunate, I guess, consequences of this situation too, is making people choose in a way that they shouldn't have to. And I mean, back to your point about them having children, I think it's so pertinent because it is always harder to leave a situation when you have kids. And so it just makes me realize that how much bigger of a decision that was for her. And I think that that's cause for us to respect it even more, because it must have been really, really hard.
And the scrutiny that she knew she was gonna get, and the paparazzi. I mean, when we go through our breakups, that shit could be private. You know, we could, you know, I'm happy that the only reason why my friends know who my ex is because I tell them. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. But these people, it's, you can read it, you could see it anywhere. There are pictures that maybe you delete from your Instagram, but that someone else will, you know, have saved and show you later, and things that, like, again, you could not pay me to be living this life. I don't care how glamorous the Kardashians live. I don't care. It looks like a nightmare to me. But I was speaking earlier about, like, wanting coverage that really includes, like, therapists and people in the mental health field. And there was this one health and wellness piece in USA Today written by Jenna Rue. I hope I'm saying her last name right. You know, she quoted a therapist, Tina Swinton, author of Divorcing a Narcissist. And she said, you know, many survivors that I speak to are not only triggered by Kanye's behavior, but also by those who are making light of his disturbing outbursts. With someone like Kanye, it is terrifying because not only does he have millions of followers, he doesn't seem to have a filter. And I really love that quote because it's speaking on the survivors of abuse instead of just focusing on just Kanye and the sensationalism of it.
I think that that's really important too for people, but I would say specifically women who are watching this situation around the country, around the world, and so see their own experiences in it and I think that it's really important that they're also able to see their own experiences in the coverage of the situation. And, you know, it can be really difficult if someone reading about everything that's going on is only seeing the take of, well, this is justified because he has love for her. Because that's the trope that I'm sure was told to them a billion times, that like these actions are justified because there's love there. And so to have a more complete view and to be able to read that and have that out in the open as well, I think is so important for women who see themselves in this situation.
Over the last few months, I have been steadfast on going to nail salons and either getting extensions or just adding nail polish to my nails. We all know that can do so much damage to your nails. Not gonna lie, they are not in the best shape at the moment. If you're anything like me and love getting your nails done, but are on the lookout for products that will hydrate your nails and leave them looking and feeling the best they can be, then Sundays is the perfect nail care wellness brand for you. Each product is non-toxic and vegan. Not to mention, it will leave your nails feeling refreshed and ready to go. As you know, we're all out here trying to enjoy a hot girl or hot boy summer. So we need to make sure our nails are in tip-top shape. Clean beauty products are the best form of self-care. What are you waiting for? Log on to sundays.com, and for a discount on your fave nail polishes, serums, and hydrating products, use the code ALIVENUE. That's ALIVENUE. Your nails will thank you later.
After this episode comes out, like, I wonder what else we're going to be seeing and reading about, because it feels like every day you wake up with something new from Kanye. Like, now he posted something, a poem on divorce, about what divorce feels like, which I didn't think was wrong, because it was his, it wasn't like he was saying, Kim did this to me. He was saying what divorce to him feels like, because he's suffering and he's grieving, which, again, if he would have really focused on his grief, and not blamed other people and thrown other people's names in there, it would have been fine. He could have made a whole album on divorce. I mean, look at what Beyonce did. Lemonade? He could have made, like, peach juice or something. I don't know. Like, he could have done, like, a lemonade-esque type of, like, iced tea or something. I don't know. But something. And that would have been bomb. But no, he had to go the Kanye route, which is the attacks and the abuse.
I think that that's a good point, because any sort of, I guess, discussion about what he is doing isn't necessarily saying that he can't emote publicly, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm not in the position, you're not in the position, we're not in the position to say what coping should look like. And we can still look at this and say, hey, there are ways to cope that are emotive and you're feeling everything that you need to feel that aren't dangerous to other people. And like, if I were seeing, if he were just doing the things where he's posting about these emotions with divorce and channeling it into something, or just posting, you know, sad things, I wouldn't respect coverage that said, well, he shouldn't be allowed to do that, you know, like, don't make it public,
Yeah.
Because he has the right to do that. I think that one of the unfortunate, again, like, ramifications of the situation is that he is emoting so publicly and she isn't allowed to in the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, she hasn't been... she's not able to post something that says this is the everything that I'm dealing with, because mm-hmm. she knows the backlash that she would receive on that, and she knows that it would exacerbate an already difficult situation with him. And I think in that way mm-hmm. they're given different allowances in how they're yep. able to experience this you know, categorically inarguably difficult thing.
No, exactly. And, you know, I think about all the artists who have gone through grief and who've gone through hard situations. That works scrutinized. Like, look at Adele. Her divorce and, oh my God, that was, she got, there was so much coverage on that. And I'm sure she didn't love that. But look at her beautiful album, 30. There's so much beautiful art that can be made from this. And it's like, Kanye has the tools. He has the creative genius. He's intelligent. Like, he really has the tools. And I just wish that Kanye could use it better and that Kanye could have done this differently. Yeah, and that's why he continues to disappoint me throughout. And it's sad because my childhood, Kanye was awesome, you know? And as I've gotten older, I'm looking at him and I'm like, no, man, not good. And I want to look at this documentary because I have so many questions and I feel like they will be answered after this trilogy. It's a pretty long documentary series, but I think it's worth looking at.
It's important to be able to have a complicated view of him, in part because so many people and so many men, you know, grew up seeing him as, you know, and in a lot of ways, incredibly understandably and rightfully so, as, you know, someone to look up to, someone that you want to be like, and being able to have a complicated view about what that means now in terms of role, being a role model and looking up, you know, I think that those thoughts can only take place if we have a more nuanced view of, you know, what he's going through now and what he's been through and how that influences the way that he's acting.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, this has been a really great conversation. Talking about my complicated relationship with Kanye and just what I've been thinking the past few weeks. And yeah, it's been great having you on.
Well, thank you for having me. And
yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm always, I know that we were just talking about it privately and it's, you know, there's just so much there. And I'm glad that we're having these nuanced conversations that aren't all good or all bad. And yeah.
Before we go, we will be spotlighting Nick Marino from the Long Island-based rock band Monkey Bite. This is our first Saucy But Sweet Tune of the Week for 2022, and I am stoked. I know so far I've been profiling R&B artists, but I want to make it super clear. Rock and roll has always been a genre that I've held close to my heart as well. The first time I reached out to Nick was in 2020 to produce a video for class, back when I was in grad school, about how musicians were faring during quarantine. You can find it on YouTube if you're so inclined. Titled At Home with Nick Marino from Monkey Bite. Through the years, we stayed in touch, and I'm so happy to be spotlighting him and his band for our Saucy But Sweet Tune of the Week. You can find the band's latest single, Glow, on Spotify. Here is Glow by Monkey Bite.
Watch the whole world burn while you glow, and I feel dumb. seen from a distance soldiers I once knew. They came to tell me that the whole world fell and you knew. I feel dumb now, my hands have blood drowned. I will hold light and watch you burn.
And that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson.